Hello, I'm David Baker, and thank you for downloading this podcast of Crossing Continents. You know, I've spent a lot of time in Brazil, and one of the things I really like about the place is the racial diversity you find there. You can walk along the street and you see so many different skin colours and facial features. It really feels like a diverse nation. And then earlier this year, I came across a news story that really struck me. It was about 24 students had been thrown off a course in a university in the south of Brazil for pretending to be black. They'd applied under a quota system that reserved places on the course for non-white applicants. And looking at some of the photos, I have to say, a lot of them looked very white to me. So I wanted to go back and investigate. And what I found was more than just a story about higher education. It was something that touched the very heart of Brazil, its self-identity as a rainbow nation. And it brought up what it meant to be black in a country that likes to pretend that race doesn't exist. Enjoy the programme.
My Afro is a piece of my identity. All my life, I used to trim my hair because here we are always told crespo, the kind of hair.
Curly hair.
Yeah, curly hair. A bad hair. I decided, no, it's my hair.
These days in Brazil, black people's hair is becoming political.
Now I have a mark. It's impossible to go anywhere without being noticed.
You have a brand with your Afro hair and everything. Yeah. How did you feel when it started to grow?
Empowered.
Projecting black identity is quite novel in Brazil. For decades, this country's taken pride in being a melting pot where its many racial roots, white, black, brown and others, all blend together into one shared mixed identity, Brazilian.
In my upbringing, race was not something that we addressed. My family in one side is white and in the other side is black, and okay, I'm in the middle.
Because if you and I put our arms next to each other, we're pretty much the same colour.
It's true, Ismail here having his Afro cut is very light-skinned.
But at the same time, I have other traits that are black. My father is black, my great-grandfather was a slave, so right now I think it's important to call myself a light-skinned black person, just to make a point.
Most black people in Brazil are descended from the nearly 5 million slaves who were brought here by Portuguese colonists, and more than half the population still defines as black or mixed race. Now they're increasingly emboldened to assert black culture and their rights. And there's a surprising impetus behind the phenomenon. More black students are being educated. Since 2016, the country's top universities have had to comply with controversial quotas aimed at making them more racially balanced.
At university, I looked around in the first day and there was me and another black guy in a class that held 50 people. In that time, I became more conscient because it was like, oh, there's something missing. What's happening? Where are the others?
University quotas are meant to turbocharge non-white student enrollment at Brazil's most elite universities and help build a black middle class. But they're affecting life off campus too. I'm David Baker, and for Crossing Continents this week, I'm in Brazil to report on a debate that's led to concerns over racial divisions, to accusations of fraud, and to questions over what it means to be black here, and even to the establishment of race scrutiny committees that some have compared with the Nazis. It's a debate that goes to the heart of Brazil's perception of itself as a colorblind democracy.
There is a discourse that, oh, Brazil doesn't have racism. They have a lot of miscegenation and all, but it's always for a white standpoint. And I think that quotas might help with that, because if we have more lawyers, journalists, doctors that are black, we become louder. And when you become louder, people need to listen.
Quem quer ajudar a melhorar o Brasil? Levante o braço!
The vexed story of Brazil's university quotas arguably began with this man.
Gente, parabéns, parabéns.
David Santos is a black Franciscan friar. He runs an advocacy organization called Educafro that helps prepare black people for making applications to study under the quota system.
Sou diretor executivo da Educafro, que é trabalho da comunidade negra.
I'm the executive director of Educafro, which fights for black identity and black power. Quotas are the most important part of this. We've been fighting for these quotas for 20 years.
The next day, Frei David brought me here to explain why. São Paulo's Museum of Immigration tells the story of modern Brazil since industrialization. It's housed in what was a giant dormitory for new arrivals back in the 19th century, when the country was still largely dependent on plantation agriculture. Today the train is for entertaining visitors to the museum, but it has a deeper history. Trains like this, over the decades, brought almost 3 million immigrants to this place alone. And the thing is, they were all white. They came here as part of a project to make Brazil a white country. And that project still has a deep impact on the lives of black Brazilians today.
Todo o projeto de trazer imigrantes europeus pobres para o Brasil.
The whole project of bringing European immigrants was to have a single objective, to whiten the population. The colonials didn't want Brazil to be a black country, and they used poor Europeans to change it.
Essa transformação.
As Frei David explains, the white newcomers were given money and help to prosper. Even as blacks, only emancipated from slavery in 1888, struggled to survive. And he says this policy of whitening the population had psychological as well as demographic effects. Black Brazilians now started to see white as the ideal, and lighter-skinned ones started to deny their African roots. Frei David knows all about that. It affected him personally.
Eu nasci em uma família, pai negro, mãe branca.
I'm the son of a black father and white mother. They suffered from the whitening policy. When I was young, they told us we had to play with white children and keep away from black children.
This is how so many Brazilians were brought up, remember? Black Brazilians. But what's even more remarkable is that Frei David thought he was white. Then, after he entered the seminary in 1976, this happened.
No dia 13 de maio, que é o dia comemorado no Brasil, dia da libertação dos escravos.
The 13th of May is the day Brazil commemorates the freeing of slaves. And the white seminarians put a table in the middle of the cafeteria. They said it was a slave ship. All the blacks had to sit there. I thought I was white. I sat somewhere else. And they start shouting, "Hey, there's someone missing at the central table. It's David." And they pick me up and drag me to the table in the middle. It was just too much. They called me black in public. I didn't see myself as a black man. I just didn't see myself as black.
For activists like Frei David, university quotas are part of a program of reparations to black people, compensating them for being so marginalized by whites. And he's able to see the situation in financial terms.
Se fosse pagar a cada negro brasileiro hoje,
if they were to pay every black Brazilian their historic debt, we reckon the state would now owe every Afro-Brazilian around $120,000.
Vou partir, mas deixarei meu coração.
The Brazilian government first enshrined quotas in law in 2012, ordering that half of all places at Brazil's elite federal universities should be subject to affirmative action, with a percentage of them just for non-white students, according to the racial makeup of each state. Now, after an implementation period, all the institutions must comply. But some universities enacted the policy voluntarily long ago.
about 14% of our students today are blacks from quotas.
I've come to one of the first to do so, the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul, in Porto Alegre in the south of the country, which established its quotas more than 10 years ago.
We are very close to the density of blacks in our state.
The rector, Rui Vicente Opperman, says its decision faced stiff resistance.
It promoted a very high opposition. We had to ask for the police to be here. We had a corridor of people hitting us. The majority were our own students,
They were attacking you?
Yes, they were yelling. Some of them were pushing us. They were saying, "You're destroying the university."
But the university persevered and gradually increased the number of non-white students until they've now almost reached 16%, the proportion of the state population in Rio Grande do Sul. When you hit 16%, will you stop the quotas?
No, the quotas is a law, and on political grounds, we decided we should go over the 16% of the population and put the rate that the law allows us to put, that's 25%.
Here at the university, we've come across about five, six black women in colourful African dress, and they're dancing, playing a drum. One of them has been sprinkling leaves around here. And this is the first day of Black Awareness Month. It's called Black November. And this is all to do with quotas. This university, through quotas, is starting to understand that it has a bigger black population, a bigger black identity.
The students here are very strong, more than when I first joined. There's even this black consciousness movement. I would never have imagined all this when I first entered university.
Jessica is a black student here in Porto Alegre, who's studying for her master's in psychology. She's one of many who first entered the university under the quota scheme. None of her family had been in higher education before.
Here in Brazil, we have five skin colors in our system: white, black, mixed race, yellow, or indigenous. And if you put black or mixed race, you get quota rights. It's self-declaration, no questions asked. So I ticked to say I'm black. I thought, this is good. It's finally an advantage to be black. It was the first time ever that I found it an advantage to say that I'm black. When I filled in the form, I didn't have any sense that I was getting an unfair advantage. Not at all, because it's a historical fact that Brazil has a debt to us black people.
And there's a financial advantage too. This is a chance for Jessica to become part of Brazil's growing middle class.
The first issue is economic. Many people will now have opportunities. They'll have qualifications that they wouldn't have without quotas.
Not everyone, though, supports the university's stand. I've come to a little town about 50 miles from Porto Alegre, called Docimaus. Already the feeling here is kind of really different. The streets seem more organized. It's wealthier here, more European even. And as you can probably hear, the cars rumble over little cobbled streets. If you closed your eyes, you could almost be in Central Europe. This is the place where many of those white immigrants we heard about earlier came to settle, and their descendants are still here today.
Well, this town, its history goes back to 1829, when the first German immigrants settled here. And actually, we don't celebrate Carnival, for instance, which everyone else in the world knows of, but here we celebrate actually the Germans coming to this place.
Marcel van Hatten is a state politician of European ancestry. We're on our way to a German-style beer garden, typical of the region. It's all very good-humoured here, but beneath the cheer, there's concern. Marcel is worried about the rise of identity politics in Brazil. And specifically, he's very critical of the quota system, A policy he says is divisive in a country where everyone's supposed to be mixed and equal.
We're talking about racism. We're talking about segregation. We're talking about discrimination. Separating people by their skin colors only for the sake of trying to make the state correct some injustices, I think this is a huge mistake because we have people who faced injustices from many different skin colors, including white people. You know who did this? Who tried to separate people by their skin colors were the Nazis, for instance.
The Nazis?
Yeah, sure, because this is the state doing a active discrimination amongst their citizens.
But in a way, aren't you really part of the problem? Aren't some people going to say, well, of course he's against quotas, because you yourself have white skin, you have blonde hair, you have blue eyes.
Sure, you know what I would say to these people with a smile on their face? You're a racist. Just because I'm white, just because I have blue eyes, I can't have my opinion. Actually, this is a result of this discussion of quotas.
But then Marcel raised another, more practical point. And it's one that goes to the heart of the debate over quotas.
And here in Brazil, which is a melting pot by nature, many, many people who are white from skin, they have black DNA. And how will you then separate these people or say they are black or they are not black people?
Marcel obviously has very strong opinions about this. But what's interesting is that he is very much on the side of genotype rather than phenotype. This idea that actually someone's family history is what makes them different in Brazil, rather than the colour of their skin or the shape of their nose or things like that. So there's a real debate in this country, not only about the different situations people of different races find themselves in, but also about how you define race in the first place. When quotas were first introduced, people could simply self-define their race. But that led to a lot of people who looked white describing themselves as mixed race, or even black. I have some pictures here of students who did that at the university we visited in Porto Alegre. And I have to say, a lot of them look very white to me. Many are just like Marcel, in fact, blonde and blue-eyed. In short, they look European. But others look like Ismail, who we met at the start of the programme. Light-skinned, though with dark features. How do you work out where someone like him stands? The thing is, once people noticed pictures like these, often on social media, students started to turn on other students, accusing them of fraud. I'm driving even further south now, almost to the very bottom tip of Brazil, to a town called Pelotas. The next step after this is the Uruguayan border. And I'm going here because Pelotas is a place where this story about university quotas has taken a particularly dramatic turn. We're coming into the house of a young man who we'll call Luis, as he's asked us not to use his real name. He doesn't have the looks of an African or an Afro-Caribbean. He's what many people might call Latino. And using the quota scheme, he applied to study medicine at the Federal University in Pelotas. He defined himself as mixed race, and he got in. Then one day, he received a memo. Where did this memorandum come from? Who sent it?
It was from the university rector's office. He said they had a complaint, asking the university to investigate. I had to go to another campus, where the rector is based. When I arrived there, there were three people with a camera.
Luis says that a bizarre interrogation then ensued.
They asked me a lot of confusing questions, like, was I part of the black movement, which I didn't find relevant because a person can be black and not part of the black movement. And there were even worse questions, like if I could name five black celebrities. Anyone, black or white, could know five black celebrities.
After its investigations, the university expelled Luis, along with 23 other students, saying they were not eligible for the quota system. That in effect, they'd lied about their ethnicity.
My name is Pedro Alau, and I'm the president of the Federal University of Pelotas in Brazil. Yeah, what really happened is that they should not be occupying those vacancies because they were not black, and those vacancies were for black people.
And what do you mean by black people? I mean, who are these spaces for?
Black people is defined by the phenotype. And phenotype is how do you look like. What doesn't matter is whether your father or your grandfather is black or not, whether you like black artists or black music. Those things do not matter at all.
Do you think at least some of those people were, the word that's being used is frauds?
It's very difficult in my position to accuse people of being a fraud, but pretty much more than half were not black at all. So when someone with that background will say he or she is black, it's very difficult to think of anything other than fraud.
I applied for the quota because I believed, as a person of mixed race, that I was eligible. If I'd said I wasn't black, I'd be betraying my family.
Luis and some of the other 23 students who were expelled from their courses are appealing. But there are likely to be many more cases like this. The university in Pelotas has set up a commission, which it says is now investigating more than 1,000 other students who've entered via quotas. In the university grounds, I met Rosemary Gomez-Lemos, a member of the New Race panel. I wanted to know how it will decide who is black and who isn't. And through our interpreter, Rosemary explained.
She tells that, first of all, it's the people who is suffering racism, that people that are not occupying power spaces, and also phenotypically their hair, their nose, the color of the skin. That's how you can tell.
Looking at things like the shape of someone's nose, their hair or their skin feels to me pretty subjective for something as important as a university place. But Rosemary's happy to assess someone's racial background this way, even using a photograph I have on my iPhone of Ismail, the light-skinned young man who we met at the start of the programme, having his afro styled in São Paulo. I'm interested if he came in front of you, whether you would see him as black or not.
É negro.
He's black.
É negro.
It's obvious. É óbvio, né?
Sim.
What is it that you see in this photo that makes you so certain this man, Ismael, is black?
Cabelo.
His hair.
Nariz.
Nose.
A boca, não.
Not his mouth.
A boca, não. Porque o que acontece? Nós temos também país miscigenado. Ele tem lábios finos.
She said that we live in a mixed country and he has thin lips.
Is this not really difficult to look at a person like this, almost like the slave markets looked at the eyes and the nose and the lips and treating the person almost like an animal?
É horrível, mas era assim que é feito e é assim que é visto o racismo no Brasil. É assim que quando a gente vai fazer uma entrevista...
It's awful, but it's just the way that works. It's not correct, but it's the reality.
Race panels like this are springing up all over the country. One of the very latest is at the Federal University of Rio Grande do Sul, which we visited earlier in the programme and where quotas were first introduced 10 years ago. Rector Rui Vicente Opperman says all future applications will now be subject to scrutiny. So where are we going now?
Now we're on campus. We are going to visit the radio, university radio.
The university has a radio station?
Yes, we have. This is the oldest
At the university radio station, we go upstairs to the newsroom, where the rector introduces me to Deborah, an ex-student who now works here. She got her job by appearing in front of exactly the same type of race inspection panel that'll now be checking student applications.
Porque é avaliado o fenótipo, não só a cor, mas também os traços, né?
So yes, because it's a phenotype observation, they're looking for traces, for signs of your race. They don't say anything, they just look at you and they film you.
Eu acho que ter uma comissão é melhor do que...
Yes, obviously she says it would be great if these commissions didn't have to exist, but the person in Brazil who suffers discrimination is the person who does look like this, who has these features about them. It's not the person who comes from a family where there's black ancestry, and that's why we need to look out for them. And, says Rector Huey Opperman, the new race commission will be investigating multiple allegations of fraud.
It started with very few complaints, but today we have 350 complaints. So it grew up geometrically. It is very curious because at the time we introduced the quotas at the university, the African movements didn't accept the possibility of having a commission for verification. Because they said, no, self-declaration will be enough. Nowadays, these movements, they are defending the examination of the hetero identification because eventual frauds are growing so much.
Now, you're bringing in this commission, you're putting a lot of work into this in the university. Does this suggest that the academic world is, if you like, determined to make these quotas work, that the academic world is behind these quotas?
Yeah, certainly. I believe that we'll go on with the quotas until the time that society itself has changed and has given more opportunities to blacks and mixed and all these people. You know, when we introduced the quotas at university, the only blacks at public universities were blacks serving coffee. Not anymore. Not anymore. Not anymore. Now we have a mixed society and we have a mixed university as it should be.
Como é que vocês devem agir diante disso? Mais alto? Outra opinião?
Back in São Paulo, the quota pioneer, Frei David Santos, agrees. His organization, Educafro, is packed out again with young and not-so-young candidates, all hoping to get a quota place in higher education and change their lives forever.
Vou agora na medicina. Foi na medicina.
Whites are taking our places, he tells the assembled crowd. And he's not shy to call that fraud. He's certain that quota places must be protected.
For the first time, we're having a discussion about what it means to be black. We need to look at noses and lips and frizzy hair. In Nazi Germany, we had this kind of discussion in order to oppress people. But in Brazil, we're using the phenotype to help people advance.
Estamos em país chamado Brasil, onde o privilégio...
We're sitting in Brazil, where white privilege dominates from north to south. So the black community has found a strategy to act with stealth. Step by step, we're quietly working away at the edges in order to chip away at the system. Many ants together can kill a lion.
Reunidas pode matar leão.
We're a long way from a simple attempt to rebalance Brazil's universities. Quotas here have sparked a resurgence of racial identity in a country that has historically swept ethnic difference under the carpet. And whether it's young men and women like Ismail sporting their afros in the street, or students like Jessica being able to study for a master's at a top university, quotas have changed the racial flavour of Brazil for good. This edition of Crossing Continents was produced by Mike Gallagher and mixed by James Beard. The editor is Bridget Harney. And if you're interested in hearing more stories about Brazil, you might enjoy another programme I made last year about street children in Salvador and about how their lives reflect the lives of kids in a famous novel in Brazil called Captains of the Sands. If you want to find out more, search in our Crossing Continents back catalogue for Brazil's modern-day Captains of the Sands.